You have 5 new voice messages. To play your messages, press 1. New message.
3028 or contact at peoplespartynv.ca.
Message deleted. New message.
You received this message. You need to get back to us to avoid legal consequences.
Message deleted. New message.
Hi, Robert. This is Jeff Alexander with Rudder Press.
Message deleted. New message.
This is a text-to-voice message from Robin.
We'll likely have to cancel today's appointment. Ted woke up with excruciating pain, possibly the result of a kidney stone. We're in the emergency ward waiting for a diagnosis. Sad smiley face. Frown. Robin.
New message.
Hi, Robert. Ted.
Ted.
Thank you. Sorry.
You have no more messages.
Hi, and welcome to episode 4 of My Friend Ted. My friend Ted has amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, ALS. Ted and I get together every week to talk about how he and his family are doing as they deal with this disease. But as you heard in Robin's text message and Ted's kind of garbled voice message, this week's visit got postponed. 3 days later, Ted was out of the hospital.
Well, I'm not sure if I've used this expression before, but my mom used to say, I've been through the wars.
Yeah.
Have you heard that before?
I have.
Yeah. Well, I went through the wars. So my relatives came in on Wednesday from Germany. And then my other relatives, I can't remember, a couple of days later. Oh, Saturday, that's right, from Montreal. So they were downstairs, and all of a sudden I started having this intractable pain, like awful, awful in my lower right kidney. Actually, the ureter runs from the kidney to the bladder. And I was passing a kidney stone.
Oh, geez.
And there's, apparently in nursing, there's 3 things that are most painful. That's pregnancy and passing a kidney stone. And there's one other thing, but I don't even want to know about it because it could be something I might have. So my body was just convulsed in pain. And so we eventually called the paramedics. I think it was pretty late. We called the paramedics. They came and tried to give me some, I guess, modern equivalent of laughing gas for the pain. It didn't do anything whatsoever. I mean, it was nothing. So they took me to the hospital. All the time I was just in, again, unbelievable pain. So they got me in there. When I got to the hospital, I think they gave me some sort of Advil type stuff, something like that. Then they took me in for a CT scan, but I thought the pain has subsided because of the medication they gave, but it had actually passed. So the stone had passed into my bladder. So when they did the CT scan, they saw the stone. It was 8 millimeters. So if you picture, I would say that's probably about the diameter of a marble, you know, one of the smaller marble. And that was passing through a tube that just is supposed to have liquid going through it. Well, unfortunately, sometime in that, they gave me the narcotic, I think actually gave me Dilaudid. But then what happened, that Dilaudid is completely, I mean, for the next day, I was just completely out of it. I just sat here, slept. I would hardly say anything. So unfortunately, I probably didn't need it because it probably had passed already. Mm. Or maybe it was just tender from, you know, from stretching that much.
And is that, do you know what, is that, like, is that something that happens when you have ALS? That these sort of things happen, or?
No. I mean, this is just one subset of problems that you would have. I mean, people have pain related. There's no pain of ALS itself, but there's other sort of
things that happen. There's plenty of pain. Yeah. It's just not because of ALS. It's because of these other things that are going on.
Yeah. So, yeah. And, you know, today I woke up and these, well, I can move that finger a little bit, but these fingers on my right hand, I can't move them at all.
Yeah, I noticed you're having more trouble using the chair than you did even a week ago, right?
Yeah, we'll probably, I mean, I've been holding off on getting it changed to the left side because I don't know how, you know, I'm right-handed. Mm-hmm. So I guess so, I have to try.
So pretty trying this week for you to keep your spirits up and to keep just thinking thinking positive about all this when all this stuff's going on.
Yeah. Well, we contacted the medical assistants in dying and the organ donation people. You know, Robin says, well, once we can work through these things, you know, you might feel more, you know, willing to carry on. But, you know, it's kind of hard to kind of think about that when, you know, I could possibly have that incredibly bad pain again, and then taking those powerful narcotics that knocked me out for 2 days. And then, of course, I didn't eat for 2 days. I still haven't really eaten much. So it's kind of like the universe trying to tell me something, you know. But I'm going to get worse before I get a lot worse. We'll just see.
Did Ted tell you about the mishap with the nebulizer? So he was prescribed a saline nebulizer. So essentially breathing in salt, saline mist.
Right.
And so a nurse came to put it on, and she spilled the salt water on you, on your head.
Yeah.
On his head.
Yeah.
And then when she fumbled around to put the mask on, and the hose connecting it to the salt water, between the mask and the salt water, came off. And so Ted, to amuse all the relatives who have come from out of town to visit him, they're all crowded in the emergency area with him, to amuse them, he went like this.
Threw my hands up as if I had stopped breathing.
Everybody started to laugh, and then she said something like, don't do that to me, I'm a new nurse.
Oh.
I've only been working since May. Oh. Anyway, it was very amusing. And we knew that Ted was starting to get better because, of course, his sense of humor was back. All right.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, because the other thing is, the first time they put the mask on you, you actually weren't still very well. And you looked at Stephen, I think, or Jeremy, and you said,
Stephen, I am your father.
With this mask on and all this saline mist circulating around him.
I felt so terrible by that. Sorry, Rena. I didn't mean to make you think you had killed your patient. I'm sure on day one of nursing school, they say, no, job one, don't kill your patient. We really rely on the repeat business.
It's now a few weeks after that visit to the emergency ward.
One of the things I was thinking about was preparations. There's just so much stuff, unless, you know, you just want to leave Robin to deal with it all. So we've been working with like all of our things like Netflix and Crave and eBay and Amazon. We've been changing passwords, and so we do, you know, we try to do a little every day.
Does that feel weird though to be doing that, or does that feel good to be doing that prep?
It feels good, but it feels, you know, so often with the disease, you kind of just, you know, in life you hope for the best and prepare for the worst. But there's always this nagging feeling that, oh yeah, the worst is gonna come. It's not just, oh, I may not need this or may not need that. Because, you know, so often as things have progressed, I've seen, you know, like a watch, some little special about ALS on TV, and I'll see the state someone's in and I think, well, maybe I'll never get to that, but then I do. I mean, right now, because I'm somewhat healthy as far as not ALS, but these other things, you know, I feel a lot more positive and probably have a lot more, higher threshold, but you know, when we were in the middle of stuff, I just had the UTI, had the kidney stones. We were just sitting here and there was, Robin's brother was here, and I just sort of started, you know, to tear up a bit. I looked at Robin in the eye and she looked at me, and she knew right away that, you know, what I said to her after was, I don't want to do this anymore. And she knew, I didn't have to tell her, you know, and she did say, you know, kind of calmer heads prevail. She said, well, wait until, you know, until we get some of these things sorted out, and then, you know, then have a different thing or a different outlook. But, you know, I was ready to throw in the towel, you know.
Well, you were in pain and you were sick and you were getting sicker, really, in a way, right?
Yeah, and it's not like when I get better, I'll be up on my feet again.
Yeah, you know? But you are significantly better today than you were then.
Absolutely.
I mean, when I came in today, you had a big smile on your face and you're looking really, like you look really healthy, and you're still, you still can't do a bunch of things. It's not like you suddenly can do a bunch of things, but you're not worse. You're actually,
right.
You know, you're just not going through that painful stuff.
Yeah. And, you know, I think about, you know, when you transplant a plant in your garden, and at first it looks really sad, it's so droopy, and you water it, eventually it comes back to life. And it's, whether it's a plant or an animal or a person, you know, we all have this intrinsic need to live, you know. And I always thought about that when these plants are looking really bad, I'm thinking, well, it wants to live, right? And, you know, obviously, same with all of us. And so there's always this balancing act between needing to live and being in such a horrible situation that, you know, you just, you know, you simply think, I want to live, but not like this, you know, so. And again, because of this very slow drip, drip, drip of progression, you can put up with more than you could if all of a sudden, you know, if it was one day I could walk and the next day I couldn't, and the next day I couldn't speak, and the next day I couldn't move, you wouldn't have a time to adapt. But because of this slow march, you know, you begin to be able to accept some of the stuff that you thought was completely unacceptable.
And also, I think, you know, and we have talked about this a little bit before too, your personality is an adaptive personality.
Yeah.
Right? You're not a rigid person. Like, you've always been very adaptive, and you think on your feet, and you adjust based on what is in front of you. So in a way, what you're talking about is, you know, you're doing what you've always done, which is you're faced with a challenge and you try to figure out a way through that challenge.
Yeah, I've always thrived with change rather than, oh my God, this changed. Oh, this is new. This is something else. I just was never looking forward to this kind of change.
Next time on My Friend Ted.
I'm Jennifer Malmes. I am an end-of-life doula. The word doula comes from the Greek word servant. And it really, if you break it down, it means servant in your own terms. So serving somebody as they want to be served.
That's coming up on our next episode. For show notes, please visit the website podcasthouse.ca. I'm Robert Wemet. Thanks for listening.